court date.
So the second appendix. Oh, I see. No, it says appendix one. It's got five parts.
Well, it is appendix one.
Yes. It's the only appendix. Yeah.
Today on Lord of the Pillar.
Yeah, Lord of the Pillar. Take advantage while you can. Yeah.
King of the Castle.
Yeah, that's the difference. The Brahmachari, whenever an opportunity arises, he doesn't take advantage of that. You know. Like that, but Grihastha has to. Because then only if he takes advantage of every opportunity, then only a kind of something balances the other side where he never is. It kind of works out, you know. So that's their right.
Yeah.
Right. The opportunity.
Yes.
Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahana Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. Appendix 1, button number 65. Vallabha's system, so these are relationship between God, matter, and the jiva. Vallabha's system of pure monism also accepts the souls and matter as real and as the manifestations of God's attributes. He's accepted God as the abode of contradictory attributes. This doctrine is established on the basis of shrutis, but is not conceivable by limited human reason. Right? In other words, the Shrutis mention it, but it's not that because we're able to understand it by logic, that's its validity. Its validity is that the Shruti mentions it. Does that make sense? That's the authority. Then, by logic, we won't be able to underappreciate that because we're dealing with God. Mm-hmm. So it's only by God's grace. So that means through devotion, then one can appreciate it. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm just wondering why is it brought out Vallabha's system of pure mode? Isn't this kind of accepted by all?
Yeah, I would say so. Well, here he's saying that souls and matter is real. Mm-hmm. Well, the same here, Madhu accepted three eternal, God, soul, and matter. Mm-hmm. God is, but if the souls and matter are eternal like God, then how can Madhu say that God is the only independent reality? Dualism makes supremacy of God impossible. At the same time, as you know, it's
bringing out the different ways they would present.
Yes. Hey, Nimbarka has accepted both identity and difference amongst the three entities. The soul and matter are dependent on God, right? So here he's bringing out the soul of God, means Vallabha. Souls and matter is real, and God as the man accepted God as the abode of contradictory. So that means he would also have to be real. But he's bringing out that oneness of aspect rather than the difference, right? In other words, you take the difference too far, then it's hard to establish God's supremacy, because then if they're completely different, there's not the oneness of the living entities in God and the material world and the Lord, then that makes them completely independent. And then by being completely independent, how is God the supreme? You understand? That's the problem if you take the dualism too far. So the dualism is good, but you have to also accept the oneness aspect, at least to a little bit of a degree. Right, but he only does that once you get to the transcendental. Right, within the material sphere, the conditioned sphere, he doesn't breach it at all, because, you know, then there's the worry the monist will try to take advantage of that little aspect. So once you get to the transcendental platform, you're liberated. Then it's there, because then there's no problem. Nimbarka has accepted both identity and difference among the three entities. The soul and matter are dependent on God, who is the only independent reality, right? So that's the point, is the only one that's independent is Krishna. That's what we'll say. The souls and the material energy is not independent. The souls have a minute independence that they can choose to be under the internal or the external potency, but they can't choose to not be under God's control. That's not part of the options, you know. So in Madhva saying that all three are independent, then because he's trying to establish that there's more than one, he's trying to by any way break the idea that there's only one. But then it gives a weakness there. But it's not a weakness that the Mayavadis will take advantage of. Does that make sense? You know. So therefore, it doesn't have a problem. Right, because it's being used against the Mayavadis, so they won't bring it up. So, because they're not interested in God and about there being more than one, so they'll never bring it up. Well, but if there's two, we're the only ones, because we do have the oneness and the difference. We can take the monistic aspect and then play with it with them, and they think it's going, and then we turn it on them. Yeah. Like that. But the Madhvas, because it's only dual, they won't even touch the monistic aspect. Right? So that gives a weakness. But the problem is the Mayavadis, then that particular monistic aspect, they're not going to use it to establish God's, or not establish God's supremacy, because it's all one, it's supreme. So it's automatically they're going to neglect that as a point. Does that make sense? Okay. The soul and matter are dependent on God, who is the only independent reality. They are non-different from God, since they are in the nature of God. They are different from him because while God is independent, the world and souls are dependent on him. He is the support of their dependent existence. The concept of dependency necessarily involves some difference. Right? So he creates the difference through dependency. Right? While Mud was creating the difference through independence. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. And in the monistic, it's a matter of they don't even... He's not discussing so much that. He's talking about the attributes. Right? Because in the oneness, he says here, they are non-different God since they are in the nature of God. In other words, they are the attributes of God. Right? But then there's a difference. But then because he's just dealing with the dependency and independency, then the dependency means there's a difference. Right?
Yeah.
Like that. Sri Chaitanya and his followers recognize the superlogical and inconceivable nature of the relation of Beda-Beda by posting the category of Achintya, which shows their sincerity and frankness. They support it on the basis of scriptural passages. But the element is not just Achintya. It's not the Beda Abeda.
Mm.
It's not just the aspect that is Achintya, because you can say is that the Achintya is it's inconceivable. But then, you know, here is Vallabha is also mentioned, it's beyond reason. Right?
Mm.
So it's not just that. It's that it's one, it's two, and that's inconceivable how it can be both one and it could also be two. But we're saying that simultaneously it's one and two. Mm. That's the inconceivable.
Mm.
Because you can, you know, look at it that, okay, it's, in this way you look at it, it's one, you look at it this way, it's two. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah, but the point is it's both at the same time. So that's the uniqueness aspect. So it's not just that we said inconceivable. Because they also will say it's, all Vaishnavas will say it's inconceivable. Right? Because it's only by God's mercy, by God's grace. Okay. Two, efficient and material cause of the world. I have to get used to it because you never get enough practice. Right? Don't worry, you'll get it. You know, we're here for you. Okay. Two, efficient and material cause of the world, right? So this is another major point. So you have the Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, God Chit Achit Anishwara, right? So that's a major discussion between the various schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they are, because that's where your main difference is going to come, right? So now here's another aspect, is the creation. How is it that you have these three entities,
yes.
Right? Because everybody has to agree that there's the Supreme, there's the material energy, and there's the Jiva.
Yes.
Now, whether they consider them real or not, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Mayavadas will say the Supreme is real, but not the material nature and the Jivas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? Well, the Vaishnavas will say all three are real.
Mm-hmm.
So now the thing is how, you know, where does it all start? How does that manifestation happen? Does that make sense? So that's going to be important. And then, so one of the big, big discussions in that is the efficient and material cause of the world. Okay? All Vaishnava thinkers except Madhva have accepted God as both the efficient and material cause of the world. Madhva considers the idea of Ramanuja, the world forms the body of God and God is the material cause of the world. Wow, it's a chunk out of this.
Yeah, somehow broke.
Yeah.
It was strung the other way around.
Oh, so that's why I never saw it.
Yeah, it's not just happened.
Oh, so you guys are all thinking, wow, yeah. He fixed the table.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
String
on the table.
Okay. 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 Okay, so Madhva considers the idea of Ramanuja as injurious to the independent majesty of God. Right? Because he doesn't want to have him connected with the material. He wants him beyond. Because the Maya bodies, if it's material, then it can be illusion. So then this personal form that they're talking about, yes, is connected with the material, but that's the Saguna Brahman that they say means that form of Vishnu. Right? Because they're taking Saguna Brahman to mean a material form of the Supreme. Right? Well, we're saying Saguna Brahman is what they call Nirguna Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the Brahma Jyoti. That's Saguna Brahman. But they'll take Brahma Jyoti as Nirguna. Right?
Seems that Madhva is limiting himself quite a lot because of these Mayavadis.
But that's the point, because Vaishnavism is being practiced, but the point is that the Mayavadis are still there. So they're also very limited.
Mm.
Because the point is You have, it's like, means illusion, it means where does it come from? It can't come from the jiva, so it has to come from Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
But then where you have Brahma Parinamabad, then the problem is then Brahman is transforming. But here it's the energies transformed. So he'll just put the emphasis on the energies.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is God and his energy is non-different.
Mm-hmm.
So you say God is who's... But technically it's not, it's the energies. So does that make sense? So he's just trying to, because the one is, it doesn't make sense, there is no creation, it's all illusion. But those who, but then the problem, as we saw before, is, okay, but where does the illusion come from? It can't be based on Brahman, because Brahman is immutable, unchangeable, anything like this. So it can't have, and it has no quality. So Maya would be a changeable attribute, you know? So that Brahman can't have that. So then, what does that leave it at? So Maya is just an illusion. So therefore, why would there be illusions? Because of the jivas. So Maya is dependent on the jivas, right? Sounds fair enough. But then the problem is they say there are no jivas. The jiva is created because part of Brahman becomes covered by Maya, and then you have a jiva. But that would mean Maya would have, means if the jiva is the shelter of Brahman, then unless there's a jiva, how can Maya act? But we're saying that Maya acts first, then there's a jiva. So it just negates its own philosophy. And so to avoid that, the Brahma Party Namavads, then they say, oh, it's Brahman that's transformed. But then that means that Brahman is, the, you know, is faulty. So in no way can they establish these three. Does that make sense? So you want to keep it separate. That's why Maya is separate than the jivas, because otherwise they'll say, no, Maya and the jivas are together. So you want to keep them independent. So his point of independence is they're not dependent on each other. Though, technically, they're both dependent upon the Lord. Right? But he's trying to show that they're completely separate. So any aspect that the Mayavadi is trying to take, he's taking a position that won't allow that philosophy to get a foothold. Does that make sense? So therefore, Brahman is not the material or efficient cause. Right? Or it means efficient, but not the material cause. Right? That's the energies. But it's his energies, of course. You know what I'm saying? So all it is that the Acharya can't be wrong. The Acharya is just taking a particular perspective just for that situation of dealing with the Mayavadis. Right? So therefore, it's very good in arguing with Mayavadis. Mm. You know, it's just, it's an excellent system for arguing with Mayavadis. You know, it means all the systems can do it, but theirs is specifically just designed. You know, it's just, you know. Yes?
We were talking yesterday about the Nyaya. It's a similar model to the Nyaya. The Nyaya has the same idea that God is the origin, but the material world is kind of separate from him.
Yeah, because then you don't really have to worry about God. That's the thing if you're using that. Well, the point is you're trying to establish that God is, means, oh, what is it? That the jiva is dependent upon. You know, but at the same time is you have to separate it, because otherwise dependent upon, the non-different from, and so therefore it's actually an illusion that it's there because it's all Brahman. So he's trying to stop that kind of a thought pattern. So therefore you say they're independent. Right? Because they are independent. They made their choice. They came here. But it's minute independence. But the point is there is independence. Does that make sense? Well, others will say that the souls are dependent upon God, though they have minute independence. Because even to exercise their independence, they still are dependent upon God. But he's leaving that part out, because that dependency in that case creates a oneness. And he's trying to avoid the oneness. Does that make sense? In other words, you start with, it means the other philosophy, it means you can either come in straight with that. Otherwise, you start with the others, they catch it nice, because then it more easily goes right into the natural Vaishnava element. Right? But otherwise, when he's describing the spiritual, then you have all those points on the other side. Right? So even there, it's that material world's like this, spiritual world's like that. Well, in our discussions, we're showing that it being a reflection of that, the mechanics are exactly the same. It's just the consciousness that's different. You know, but you want to be very careful of that aspect, because the Mayavadis, then it's also, oh, it's all about consciousness. You know, it's all about the mind. So then they'll take that element of the mind, and not being able to appreciate it, they'll think mental speculation is fine. Right? But if the mind has to be connected to the Supreme Lord, then it has it has meaning. Does that make sense? But it's very important that this kind of position of taking it, that the Vaishnavas have different opinions and this and that. No, God's unlimited, so they're giving different aspects.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is the natural presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's the most natural. Everything fits in very nicely, very comfortably, like that. So it can be very technical, it can be very easy, mm-hmm. you know, it can be very personal, it can be very, you know, how you say, logical. You know, it can have all these different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But the other acharyas are taking, generally leaning on more one of these aspects. Mm-hmm. Because it's harder for people to catch the contradiction. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah.
The previous point you're making about the mind, you mentioned unless it's connected to Krishna, because otherwise there'll be no substance for it to be connected to. If it's not connected to Krishna, it'll be just connected to the mode, the senses, and then that's transforming.
Yes. Yeah, because then you're taking the modes of nature and that, because generally you never hear of the others generally talking so much about Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini, because they're not talking about Surup Shakti. They may, but they're talking about Lakshmi. So she may be the you know, the Surup of Narayana. But what we're talking about is that original form that even she's from. So that Surup Shakti is the source of the internal and external. So that means both are going on. So Yogamaya is the same person, two different offices. You know, that's the difficulty. You know, it's just like this. Let us say you have two countries, okay? And they have a border dispute. Both of them have their armies on the borders, ready to fight. But sitting in some nice, comfortable, you know, place, then both governments have their representatives there. They're sitting at a table and pleasantly discussing about the situation. Right? So they have that nice, pleasant political aspect. But the same government also has its military that's there ready to fight. You know, so the point is it's two different offices of one thing. Does that make sense? So the same way as the internal potency, the external potency are two different offices of the same Sarup Shakti. If you're seeing things in connection with the Lord, it's the internal potency. You're not seeing, it's the external. Yes.
Vision is not allowed because of Chinta Vedavarika. This vision that you present.
Yes, that whole thing, because it's simultaneously both at once, so for us it's not a problem. Because you can say, well, that's a contradiction. So the point is if God's everything, means you say there's two things that are a contradiction. But the point is where is the origin of each one of those? It has to go back to God. So that means God is the abode of all these contradictory attributes. He has to be. So therefore, we don't find any problem with that. You know, and so just saying that, okay, he's these contradictory attributes, it's inferring that they're all there at once and they can function at once, but generally speaking, they don't deal with them at once. So they'll deal with this one or that one. But we can deal with the two at once. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, how do we deal with, if we can't deal with that, how do we deal with all these bhavas? Which are contradictory. You know what I'm saying? A person has pride but humility at the same time. Or, you know, how does all this work? So, it means if that's appreciated, then one can see all these things. So for us, it's more important that all these fine points come out like that. For others, it's not as important. You know, because they don't necessarily get down to that level of... I've never heard others talk about it. It's not that they... I'm sure that they can get to some detail. It means the principles of it, they'll definitely get to. But the detail, I think, is only... Because as it said, there's only that straight rasa in Vrindavan. So that means it's at a particular intensity that you won't get somewhere else. So all these other elements come out. Like that. But whatever is defined in the Bharat Natya Shastra, then that would be all the Vaishnavas would agree with. You know, so to that degree that he discusses the different emotions and all that, because all these definitions of bhava and all that, basically they're coming from him. You know, the concepts of them. Does that make sense? He says originally from the spiritual world, but he's the one through which it comes, because if it's there, then Rupa Goswami can talk on it.
Yes.
You know, actually the authority on this is Rupa Goswami. But if Rupa Goswami comes and says it, people say, where's that from? So therefore Bharat Muni comes along and has already said it. Does that make sense? Just like where does Jayadev Goswami come from? You know, which line is he? Where is he from? No one really knows. But everybody accepts it's bona fide. So then Lord Chaitanya can speak on these things. Otherwise they would say he made them all up. Does that make sense? Yeah, because it means in Bengal they say Jayadev was born here, and they can tell you the town and everything he's born from. In South India they say he's born there, and I think in Maharashtra they say he's born over there. So, you know, everybody claims Jayadev.
Well, actually, he's born here.
That goes without saying. But you know, just to throw out that people are, you know, have these, you know, I say, lack of information.
So. Yeah. What we have to deal with.
Yes, of course.
For example, in the case of Jayadev Goswami, if everybody accept his presentation, but disagree about the detail of
Oh, I mean, generally those who know Jayadev don't worry. I mean, it's either one of those things that they don't worry about the detail. You know, because it's just one of those things that's going on. Like for you know, those who are dealing with more of a Vaikuntha or other or liberation, you know, the smartas or the Vaikuntha level, these are just pastimes that the Lord does, so these things might be there, but that's what he does. It's not so much for us, it's just because the point is that awe and reverence or some aspect is, so it's just a matter of appreciation that's there, or the shanta that you appreciate. So the great details is not so important. Is that okay? Okay. Madhva considers the idea of Ramanuja, the world form the body of God and God is the material cause of the world, as injurious to the independent majesty of God. He has interpreted the Shastras in accordance with his view, which deny the material causality of God. God is the efficient cause, and Prakriti is the material cause of the world, right? Mm-hmm. So he's saying, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Prakriti has come from God, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's independent. Mm-hmm. So he's just focusing on some smaller detail, because the point is the Mayavadi is dealing with basically nothing. They're dealing with a real, just twisting verses and stuff like that. So just this minor detail is enough to work against them.
And it's not wrong.
No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong, because we'll say that point, but the point is it still means, we'll take is that the universal form is the material form of the Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
But the point is its manifestation is through the material energy. So for us, he is the efficient and material cause. Right? But at the same time, he is different from the manifestation. So in that way, he is independent and he's not touched by it. So his material energy is doing all these on his behalf. But that potency by which she can do it is his potency. You know? Does that make sense? So she is his potency. But it's only because she is his potency, then therefore she can do it. But it's by his will she does it. But he just doesn't make that point of closeness. He just leaves the other things, that material energy. So Shakti Parinamavad. Right? So that means all the Vaishnavas in Parinamavad, it's Shakti Parinamavad. Right? So he just puts the more emphasis on Shakti.
Yeah.
That's all, you know.
Old letters.
Yes, you know, that's... So it's not actually different, it's just the emphasis is different.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The point is, anything where it says there's a difference, it just means the emphasis is different. Yeah. Not that... Yeah. there's a difference in philosophy, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned that every jiva from the spiritual world has the same understanding of the philosophy, the basic principles. Right? You know, if Krishna is God, there is servants. Like this. There is no difference of opinion. It's just the taste and rasa and all that, then there might be. So that would mean here for the preaching, then Madhva saw that this was useful. Right? You have to remember his guru was a Mayavadi. Right? So therefore he's growing up with that. And Ramanuja also. So that's how Ramanuja could. But he would bring out the sweetness of it while he's bringing out that scholarship of it. You know, just, you know, forget the sweetness. You know, these guys aren't worth wasting your time with sweetness. Why would you waste poetry on Mayavadis? You know, you just kind of wade in and hit him with your club. You know, that's all. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like Arjuna used arrows. Bhima would just use a club or just his bare hands. He'd just go in, you know, go in, kill an elephant, pick it up, twirl it around, throw it so it lands on a whole bunch more elephants. Then go over and then pick them up and throw them on the other elephants. You know, so he wouldn't bother with the subtleties. It's like, you know, he was just efficient, you know. You know, that's all. You know, so it's just, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it matches the personality. You know, Hanuman, he goes to get the herb. So the herb has a particular shininess to it. So he sees it, and he's about to pick it, and the sages are worried he's going to take it. Right? So then they make all the bushes shiny in the same way, so then he gets confused. But the point is he's undaunted. He's going to win here. So he just picks up the whole mountain. Right? Because, you know, in other words, all the whole, I mean, and this much of the mountain, everything's shiny. So he picks up that much of it and takes it back. You know, so once he's taken it back, there's no sadhus there to make everything shiny. And besides that, the doctors know which one it is. You know, he's a monkey. He doesn't know. They know. Right? So then when he gets back, then they go pick the thing and then bring back Lakshman. Does that make sense? So it's just it matches the personality. So it's not strange then that Madhva will, you know, just goes in there and just wades in, you know, no fear, just wades in and completely devastates whatever they have.
Viking style.
Yes, like that. You know, even berserker style. Yes.
Sometimes we find different things. Side.
Side.
He wouldn't be aware with side.
No, he just, you know, he'll move you to the side. That's the problem. You know, you're not strong enough to move him to the side, you know. Yeah. Okay. Okay. He's interpreted the Shastras in accordance with his view, which deny the material causality of God. God is the efficient cause, and Prakriti is the material cause of the world. Right? Because he'll only take that side. So the side that the material energy is connected to God, so that means, in effect, he is also the material cause. That side he leaves, right? But the two schools that show oneness, they'll emphasize that side, right? Beta will show both sides. That's true and this is true. And they both have equal weight, right? Does that make sense? Well, Madhva is, the weight is on the two, and the Shuddha Dvaita and Vishishta Dvaita, it's on the one. Well, we'll do the one and different simultaneously. Does that make sense? So to Ramanuja, God is both the efficient and material cause of the world. Matter exists in God in an unmanifested form in the state of disillusion and becomes manifest when creation takes place. In other words, when he breathes out, it all comes out. You know, and then when he glances, all the jivas and time and everything comes. So that means, it means if he's everything, that means naturally material energy is within him. Right? He's the whole creation. So that means three quarters of that's the spiritual, one quarter is the material. That means it's within him. But at the same time, it's without him. That's the uniqueness of him. That's what makes him God. You know, we don't do that. Right? You know, it's either you're in or you're out. You know, with him, he's simultaneously in and out. You know? That's why he's independent. We're not. We're dependent. Okay, God himself is transformed into the world as far as matter as an inseparable attribute of him is concerned. Right? Means, you understand there? As far as matter is an inseparable attribute of him. In that way, God is transformed into the world. Not that he himself, it's not Brahma Parinamavad. It's Shakti Parinamavad. But they're trying to bring out this oneness. So there's a purpose in their philosophy. Right? Because like when we emphasize the independence of God and the dependence of the living entities, it's because we think we're God. So that's why we show we're not God. Right? But he's taking the point of that they're saying it's all one, so we're showing it's different. You understand? Because the Mayavadi can take either side, so he's chosen that one. Right? Because that one seems, you know, in his experience, works better. You know, in the general case of at least, you know, proper sampradayic, you know, Mayavadis. You know, because they'll have to stick to what Shankara says. Well, the modern person, he just says whatever he wants, so it becomes a little different. So you don't bother with that. Now it's just your, you know, mental speculation because you're doing that for your own enjoyment. So that's the point. You're trying to separate for yourself from God by that. So we're not independent, because if we were, why is it it doesn't work out the way you want? All your mental speculation doesn't work out. Right? You know, they say, well, we have science, we have this and that, so are you happy? You know? You know, you read that, you know, Romeo and Juliet, they loved each other and they didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
You know? Probably if they had a cell phone, the ending would have been a little different. You know? Like that. So it was text message, you know, hey, well, this is the plan. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it would have worked out a little better, you know, something. You know, but then at the same time, it wouldn't have been so romantic because you wouldn't have the, you know, all her discussions in the window and things like that, because they would have just done it by text message. You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, so you have it. Each has its advantages and disadvantages. Okay. Ramanuja admitted that the questions as to how unconscious matter can be part of God, who is essentially non-material, and how a real transformation of God, either whole or part, can leave his integrality. I like it. His integrity. And immutability. Unaffected are not answerable by human logic, because that's the point. It can't be answered by human logic.
No.
Yes.
I think that Brahma Samhita explains it in the best way.
Okay.
He's a cause of all causes, but also he's not involved. He just glances at material nature, so he's kind of, he does it, but he has no contact as such.
Well, that's the point that then they say. But then if he's doing it, where's that touch? But the point is there is no touch. That's the point. So that's why he says it's not answerable by human logic.
Mm. Yeah.
It's only by bhakti is there. So you can explain the process that it works. But then see, that's the thing, when you say it's not explainable by logic, God cannot be known by logic. Because we know there are nice logical presentations by which you can, you know, prove there's God. But at the same time, Madhava was making the point, you can't prove there's God by logic. Because the point is it's only by God's grace that you can understand him. So in other words, we use the logical, analogy or explanation as the medium for the devotional energy. Now, those who appreciate that, who have the Igatya Sukriti, they take it and then by that touch develop the faith. And so now they understand it. But the person who doesn't have that Agyata Sukriti, then when he hears it, then he tries to stick just to the logic and he can't understand it. So therefore, you can't understand God by logic. Though it's not that we don't use logic to present the philosophy. You know?
Yes.
Like that. You know, it's just like, it's not because you've cooked a nice preparation that therefore there's taste. The person has to have the ability of tasting it, right? Because you give a nice first-class preparation to someone who's sick, it has no taste. So it's not because I cooked it so nicely, that's why there's taste. It's actually Krishna's potency that gives the taste. So this person does not have Krishna's potency of taste, so he can't taste it. So if he doesn't have that potency, the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, to understand that logic, he won't understand it. Is that, does that make sense? So it's beyond. Beyond the thing. But at the same time, it means relationship, and that means you have to use it. You have to use language, you have to use, you know, examples, all these different things. So they all fall short because the point is not those, the point is the intent. Because bhakti is the intent. It's not what you're doing. Right? Just like you have the example of, what is that, Shutadeva is the Brahman? Bahulasva or something, I think, is the Kshatriya.
Yes.
I think Shutadeva is the Brahman. So when Krishna goes to Shutadeva's house, then he's so ecstatic that all he has in his house is a stack of bananas. And he and his wife are peeling the bananas, throwing away the banana and giving Krishna the peel, right? And Krishna's eating it, you know? He's enjoying it because of the love. So the point is it's not the perfection of the performance of the activity, because that would be karma. That would mean I did the work, I have to get the result. But then that means God's not independent, right? And it's not that I just have the love. How do you express it? Shutadeva and his wife just sit there in meditation on the end of their nose or something, and that way then, you know, Krishna gets, you know, how do you express it? Right? Because even there, the Shantaras, at least, you know, they're looking at the end of their nose or something. You know, so you know, oh, okay, he's absorbed in the Lord, right? But the point is that something has to be the medium. So therefore, there's the manifestation of the, and that manifestation has an activity by which it attains that particular goal that you're trying to reach, right? But the intent, so it's a combination of that effort and the intent. But of the two, the intent is the most important, and the effort is trying to express the intent. Now, whether the skill of that effort is successful or not, that's secondary. But that you're making the effort to express the intent, that's actually the devotion. Does that make sense? So that simple point then goes down, has to go through everything. It has to be consistent throughout everything. You know, so that would mean is that everything, your ability to see is because the Lord sees, and he blesses you with that ability to see. You know, you see an object because the Lord sees the object. It's not that you can see something that God can't see. You know, so you're seeing because he can see it, and he's blessed you to also be able to see it. That's why some people can see more, some can see less, because you're looking at the same thing. Someone sees more, someone sees less. Right? You know, that was the thing. The man stands there, he sees nothing. Right? Someone else sees one or two things. Right? Sherlock Holmes comes along, and you know, you can write a whole book on what he sees. Like that, you know. So that's the whole point, is that God sees everything. So that means all it is someone gets a little bit more of that potency of God to be able to see, or smell, or taste, or touch. Right? Because it's the same food. You give that same, you know, preparation, you know, that the three-star cook is cooked in the five-star restaurant that the, that, you know, high-end, you know, how do you say it? Gourmand?
Gourmand.
Huh? Gourmand is there. Now he tastes, and you give, you know, you give him one, and you give one to the, you know, the truck driver. Right? And so they're both tasting the same thing with the same sense, but the gourmand tastes so much more. So that's all, because God can taste everything. He can all these things. So he's just given more of that potency. So it's still by the Lord's grace that everything's going on. So that's what's left out in that Shankhya element of that reflectionism, right? Is that the soul is reflecting his chit potency onto the you know, that mirror of the mind, or that the intelligence aspect of the mind. And that is then what illuminates the object. And so then the intelligence sees the object. Right? Because it means intelligence sees the object. It means like the mirror sees the object, but does the mirror actually see? It's dead. But if you look in the mirror, you can see it. So who looks in the mirror? The soul. So it's only, it means, in other words, you can only see what's in the intelligence. So if the intelligence is actually pointed at the sense object, then the soul can see the sense object. So that's why it says the intelligence sees first. Right? But the weakness of this whole thing is it's making it look like it is the potency of the jiva that's making it function. But it's the Lord whose potency is making it function. But the jiva has applied his potency to it, so therefore he can also see. Right? By the Lord's grace. Right? Does that make sense? So they leave God out of it, so it just leaves the jiva. So then that doesn't explain, well, how does this whole process work? Because each jiva didn't make this happen. Mm-hmm. So that means there's a higher authority that's making all these laws work. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Is this the discussion of the immanence of God and the transcendental aspect?
Yes, because that's the whole point, is that, you know, what degree is that immanence? You know, so Ramanuja, you know, like that, and Vallabhar bringing out that it's, completely, he's everything, you can find God, right? So Madhva is not going to disagree that you can't see God in everything, but he's going to say, it's, you know, because it's God Shakti, that's what's the whole point, right? He's going to keep God out of it, because then the point is then that will be the Brahma Parinamavad, right? And so that is a Mayavad philosophy. Right, but Shakti Parinamavad is not a Mayavad philosophy. So you have to have something that is totally different from the Mayavad philosophy. So then you would emphasize that aspect. You know, everybody says Shakti Parinamavad, but that oneness then could give rise to the Mayavadi interpreting it as Brahma Parinamavad. So, yeah. I'm using those, that's why I can talk. But it's just, so it doesn't, it's he's just being very, very careful. He just doesn't want to give them an inch. Right? Ramanuja and Vallabhar working, yes, you know, hey, you know, you're a nice guy, we could work with this. You know, Madhva's not working that you're a nice guy. You know, you accept the eternal form of the Lord, then we'll talk that you're a nice guy. Before that, you're a Mayavadi. You know? Like that. Yeah, that's it. It's just, I mean, Shankara was strict like that, so then this is how you're going to counter it. You're not going to counter it by being Mr. Nice Guy. Right, so that's his point. Does that make sense? Because Ramanuja's been preaching, and they've come up with all kinds of arguments to keep themselves from surrendering to Ramanuja's philosophy. It means if they had all surrendered to Ramanuja's philosophy, would Madhva need to come? No, like that. But they didn't. They worked out arguments against it. So he's worked out the arguments against those arguments against Ramanuja. Right, and since they'll base their arguments on Ramanuja, therefore he says, don't worry about Ramanuja. You know, just worry about this. Just like Krishna, when he's talking to the Smartas, and they say, no, but animal sacrifices is allowed in the Vedas. He says, don't worry about the Vedas. It's not that Buddha is an atheist. Right? He just has to distract them from that, because they're using a bona fide thing in a wrong way. So better they ignore the bona fide thing and not do it the wrong way. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, yeah. So it's like, you know, in other words, it's better to do nothing than something correctly badly. You know, that's why the active foolish is worse than the lazy foolish. Right? He makes more trouble. So that's the technique that's being used. So it's not that he has a problem with Ramanuja. It's just a matter of the Mayavadi. He has a problem with the Mayavadis. And the Mayavadis have misused Ramanujas to establish their own philosophy. So therefore, you're throwing out Shankara, and then you have to push that. Because once they accept it, then there's no problem. Right? But the problem is then you have to be on the pure platform. Right?
Has Buddhists done the same with the teachings of Buddha as Mayavadis have done with Shankara?
Everybody does. Because generally speaking, the neophyte never quite understands what the Acharya is saying. Right? So that's why you see someone comes along and very nicely keeps the line going. Mm. But otherwise, these other ones are meant to be cheated. So there's varieties of ways to be cheated. How many people are pure enough to be cheated by pure Buddhism? No home, no temple, no rituals, no nothing. You just live under a tree, then do your meditation. And then you go out begging, and after begging, you move to the next place. Or, you know, or you've moved in the morning, then you sit down, do some begging, then sit down, do your meditation, stay there, and then move the next day. How many people are pure enough to follow that? So even within Buddha's lifetime, it wasn't being followed. Right? So then, it means you have a Buddha stupa. But where does that come from? Buddha never talked about, building a nice temple. He never talked about rituals. So that's all been introduced. So when Buddhism becomes mixed with Tantra, then you get basically the form of Buddhism that you have today. Now, it's just how wild the Tantra is or not, that's how you get all your different, Mahayana, Hinayana, and, all the other varieties of yans. Right? Yes.
An interesting point Hidayananda Maharaj was making is that at the time of the Buddhists, there was this massive control of the smartest with animal sacrifice. And they also nominated Yogi Kshatriya, so Buddhist brother found by supporting.
Yeah, it makes the Kshatriyas independent of the Brahmins. Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada makes that point. Yeah. He's getting that point from Prabhupada's making that point. Because that was for the Kshatriyas. And then Jainism is for the Vaishyas. Because then Brahmins are saying so much that maybe it's right, maybe it's not. Mm. So you spend your whole day like that.
He was making a bridge with the Catholics and the Protestants in England. He's saying it's the same pattern. That the Catholics were dominating everything and they wanted an escape, and when the reform came up, that was the...
Okay, they used it politically for as opposed to it was purely religious. Because the interesting thing is the original Anglican Church, it was Catholic rituals. Everything's done in Latin. It's exactly the same church, just no Pope. That's all. It wasn't a change, actually. And then I think later on people complained and then they adjusted it. But originally, no? Or is it still like that? Because I've heard about this high...
I went to an Anglican girls' school, and we had... I don't remember, I don't think I spoke in Latin, but there was a lot of ritual. They had frankincense and...
Yeah, because I've heard that there's the high and then the common. So it could be just the... Because I know it's like, Henry and stuff like that. It was just the, what you'd find in Rome, but it was just no Pope, that's all.
Because he wanted to get divorced.
Yeah, because the Pope wouldn't allow it. So therefore then, it wasn't that he didn't have faith in Catholicism, he just didn't like the Pope. So therefore, keep Catholicism, get rid of the Pope, get rid of your wife in the process. It worked, win-win, So it worked out, So basically what it means is Henry became the Pope.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah.
But it's basically so then they used it as a political thing, because then the Catholics were in power, so it's basically the same thing, but somehow or another they made it into two separate. But of course then the Anglicans they raided all the Catholic churches and took all their wealth, so that also helped bolster. So it's that's the difficulty, is that the neophyte tends to use, the philosophy and religion for their own purpose of karma and gyan. So that's why we bring that point out. Pure devotional service means you're not doing that. Because otherwise the tendency is to do that. So we're trying to avoid that. So the acharyas are just making different ways according to the time, place, and circumstance that'll work. Right, because the Ramanuja's philosophy still works today. His mission is still going on. It works for those who follow it. It works very nicely for the Madhvas. It works. Right, does that make sense?
And inside a certain group, there is also the gradation of advancement. So
yes, of course.
Within one institution, the same.
Yeah. Because some won't get involved, some will get involved in these kind of things, and so it happens. Okay. Madhava strongly rejected the notion of material causality of God and the world as his real transformation. To him, the idea of material causation necessarily involves transformation or modifications, which implies change and is not consistent with the immutable nature of God. Material world cannot come out of God.
Right?
Because, you know, which Krishna says, he is everything, but he's separate. So he's taking that separate part, right? In the second verse of the Bhagavatam, means that he is everything. Means whatever you value is there. I mean, in the third verse, then he says, but I am separate from that. So he's taking that part. In other words, he's kind of leaving the second verse and emphasizing on the third. Does that make sense? While Ramanuja and Vallabha emphasizing more the second. Is that? Which is interesting because then it makes for a more succinct, but at the same time logical and drier kind of presentation. But at the same time, as you're taking the part that he's the person, which is actually the part that's connected more with rasa and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? Well, they're taking the Brahman and Paramatma aspect of it, but bringing in more of the personal and everything. Well, he's using the personal, but bringing out the more, you know, that difference there. So it's does that make sense? Well, for us, it's that all four verses are all there, and they all function at once. So he is everything. He's simultaneously just the values, and at the same time, he's separate from that. And so, at all times, all places, all circumstances, you're supposed to look for the Lord directly and indirectly, right? Up to that level. So you... Does that make sense? So it includes whatever anybody else is saying. Because if the Vaishnavas are basing their philosophy on the Veda, and when Brahma asked Krishna what's the essence of the Veda, and he gave him the Chaturshloki, their philosophy can't be inconsistent with these four verses. It's just a matter of they're emphasizing different aspects of it. Right? Because each verse has so many subtleties. That's why, you know, you got the longest purports basically on these verses. Right? So there's so many aspects. Each paragraph probably is bringing out a different aspect. So now you're talking about so many aspects here. Now that means then the different acharyas may emphasize one or other of these aspects. So that's what makes the difference. But achinta veda veda tattva means all these ones are there, all going on simultaneously. So we don't have a problem with any of them. Does that make sense?
There was one line that said that the souls are eternally in different modes, goodness, passion,
reason. That's the kind of thing is, I would take it that his followers have somehow or another misunderstood his point. Okay. Because when you say the soul is in goodness, passion, ignorance, so the soul in ignorance, you can't preach to him, so therefore don't waste your time, because it means how long do you have to preach? Right? So in that time, make the most efficiency. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, Prabhupada, you know, in the West, preached for 11 years. But see what he accomplished in 11 years. Because he went to wherever the spark would turn into fire. So it's the same thing. For a dynamic preacher, it's the same thing. Don't waste yourself with the ignorant souls. But that doesn't mean that the soul is inherently in ignorance. It just means at this particular point in time, then this soul is predominated by the mode of ignorance. And it's going to be like that for some lifetimes. You know, we're generally talking, can be thousands of lifetimes to make a change. So therefore, don't focus on them. Focus on the ones in goodness. But they take it that you don't have to preach at all because the ones in goodness will inherently come, so we don't have to preach. So I think only Pejwar Mott preaches. It's the only mutt that I know of that goes around. They have a bus, you know. That means they saw our buses, and they got a bus and painted it up, and the Swami gets inside with some brahmacharis, and they go around and preach. But I think they're the only one that does it, the only mutt. Like that, and they picked that up from us. You know? They're also the only mutt that's actually quite friendly with us. Others are, you know, pleasant, you know, when they have to be, but otherwise, no. Page one. Page work. That's one of the... Yeah. No, no, no. Pejwar is the Madhva Mat. Yeah, yeah. It means there's eight, the Astamat, so Pejwar is one of them. Krishna Mat is the general. And then around that are eight mats. Right? So if you come out of the door and turn right, then the first one you come to, I forget what his name is, Raghunath or something like that. There's that one, then there's the next one, I don't know, and then there's Pejwar. And that's on that side. Then you go down to the other side, I think there's another three, and then coming back there's two. So that way there's eight.
Where is that
one? Huh? Udipi. Udipi. Like that. Okay, Madhva strongly rejected the notion of material causality of God and the world as his real transformation. Okay, no, that you mentioned. Okay, yeah, that's what we discussed. Vallabha accepts God both as material and efficient causes of the world. To him, world is not a transformation of God, but a transformation of his being aspect, right? Because being means sat. Is it? But a manifestation. Okay, not a transformation, but a manifestation. Because the other thing is there can't be transformation. Right, because it's the Shakti that transforms, the manifestation of its being aspect, or Sat. Remember we said Chit and Ananda in the material nature is reduced, so you don't really get an effect from it. Right, because Chit, there's no knowledge, right, means the tendency is laziness, and there's very little Ananda that you get out of whatever's here. So those are greatly reduced. Right, so that's the thing. So it's not also, you know, incongruous here. It's just he's bringing out not a transformation, but a manifestation of his sat. But this is the inferior manifestation of sat or Brahman. So this is inferior Brahman, while the spiritual world is superior Brahman, jiva is superior Brahman. World has a separate existence, even though it is manifested from God. So the separate existence he accepts, but that separateness is then Mud will point out that as the independence, because like we'll say Maya goes on, she does everything. It has the sanction of the Lord because she's following the rules that he sets. She has, it's not that each time she has to ask. She knows what to do based on the rules given by Krishna, so she follows that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That plus time, Lord Vishnu is contemplating how the material energy is working, he's smiling, he's that element that he's on the material energy is working.
Yeah, it means, but it's under his direction. Yeah. But she's going about it and doing it very nicely, you know, because she's doing it a service to him. Like that. So he can simultaneously within the heart, seeing everything, at the same time if he's separate, he can, you know, go, wow, that's cool. You know, so. It is neither an appearance nor an actual transformation, but a limited manifestation of God. Right? So it's not directly God like an expansion. It's not a transformation, but it's a manifestation, right, of his sat potency. You know, so in other words, you're also saying it's Brahman, but then the problem is from this, you can get, see, it's Brahman, so therefore it's all Brahman.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know, because then you could use this with the Maya bodies. It does explain nicely what it does, but the Maya bodies could use this. So that's why Madhva wouldn't use this. Does that make sense? Okay. I think we'll end here. So I need to go get ready for that. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitya. Kaur Premanam.